for 2 months, I did nothing, literally nothing, which also is highly uncharacteristic for me. It's the first time in my entire adult life that I was actually unemployed since I was 9 years old.
There will always be somebody stronger, faster, and smarter than you. Surviving depends on your adaptability to change. Those who are the most adaptable are dialed in. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. I got a good show lined up today. Welcome back to Dialed In. I love doing these. We've got this weekly show, Dialed In, Elevate Exchange, where we are chatting with IT leaders that are the most adaptable to change. And today's guest is no exception to that rule. Jeanette M. Wayne. She's the VP of Process and Infrastructure for Technical Diagnostic Services. She's a proven executive leader with a track record of achievement in delivering exceptional program leadership, process governance, and business management for global companies undergoing rapid transformation and expansion into new markets and verticals. So Jeanette Wayne, come on up to the stage. So Jeanette, are you ready to get dialed in?
Let's roll.
Let's do it. So Jeanette, why don't we start from the top with, like, what is the thing that you would say that you are the most dialed into? Like that practice area that, like, you just can't get enough of.
I'm really enjoying re-engineering right now and helping a particular group of teams revitalize their business. So I'm particularly tickled with the notion that we start with a series of problems, challenges, issues, barks, whatever it happens to be. And many of these teams that I'm working with now started without any hope that there was anything that was going to change. And through lunch, through building relationships, through discussion, we've gotten to light bulb moments where we're going to completely revitalize not only what we do, but we're going to change how the industry operates as well. So I'm real excited about the collateral that these folks have developed. It's really novel. So I'm excited about that. They're a good bunch.
That's awesome. And speaking of barks, I heard one in the background. So there you go, you know. Let's talk about, you know, when we were chatting previously offline, talking about life changes, you pivot, right? So, you know, you have just a very interesting perspective on all that with some user stories that are close to you, cancer survivor and whatnot. I mean, you mind sharing a little bit of that? Because I think that's kind of at the core of you, right? That perspective you have.
Sure. So this starts because I fell out of a tree and made a rather large mess out of my shoulder and then got together with an Australian cattle dog, since we're on a dog theme.
And you can't make this stuff up.
There's no way you could make it up, right? And I'm getting help for the shoulder so that I can restore some of the range of motion. You couple that with a request from Robin Austin to do the Dialed In exchange, and you're sitting there and you're listening to this physician describe for you how she got into the businesses that she's in. And as she's telling me, she's explaining that she'd been a stay-at-home mom, and all of a sudden her spouse decides that he wants to make a change in his life. So she's left with 4 children, no way to sustain them, and has to find a way to provide for these children. And so she pivoted and she started to investigate and explore the things that she was most interested in. So she became a physical therapist, a massage therapist, a chiropractor. She's almost done with her DO, and she's pursuing something with neurology that, quite frankly, I didn't understand. But all of these things got connected. So as I'm listening to Belle describe this, I started to think about another individual who's in our team today. And she's a stage 4 cancer survivor. At the time that she was diagnosed, she was in college pursuing her law degree, and poof, all of a sudden she's got a whole nother focus to save her own life. And as I started to think about Sarah, then I thought about Charlotte and Don, who lost their home and their entire livelihood in the tornadoes that hit Canton, Texas, maybe 3 years ago. And you start to think about how all these people's lives have been changed, both professionally, through industry change, companies changing, acquisition, merger, divestiture, shutdown, and or by a scam where somebody's trying to basically cheat their way into being well. And you realize that these people have some common attributes to them, right? They start by always the anger, the frustration with the fact that life has changed. And hopefully they transition out of that space quickly so that they can hit to, all right, what do I do next? Now it's happened, whatever it is. And I have to find a way to sustain myself through all of this and position myself to do something else. So as I thought about all of that, I was listening to Tom Sweet's presentation about ongoing training and education and continuous learning and thinking about a variety of topics that have surfaced through this very forum. And it became apparent to me that there's an opportunity there to help people position themselves for the pivot. So as it starts, I mean, we all know bad things happen to good people. And what happens to you next is your choice. You have to decide, am I a survivor? Am I a victim? Am I going to pull through this? Am I going to switch direction? How am I going to get myself and my family, whether it's my literal family or my work family, through what's happened?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I can feel the pain through those words that you're holding back here. And, you know, all the meanwhile, the state of our culture, state of the world right now, we're complaining about wearing a mask. It seems to be all the talk. And all the meanwhile, you know, there are these individuals that, you know, they've gone through changes far worse than, hey, we got to wear a mask and we got to now stay at home more often than not. And they made it, and they made it through, and they persevered. Because, you know, I think it really comes out, like, if you think about like iron and like a sword, in order for iron to become the sword, it has to go through fire. It has to go through fire to become a sword, right? So, and that's basically what is kind of synonymous with all of these user stories, right? Like they went through like these terrible, terrible situations, and, you know, you've seen them come through, you've seen them persevere, right?
Absolutely. And it's that willingness to adapt, that perseverance, that adaptability, if you will, that makes it possible, right? So, and the other thing that most of these people from a professional standpoint have in common is that they did a lot of preparation for the pivot, right? So they invested in themselves. They became multidisciplined, if you will. They worked in more than one industry, so they're multi-industry. They're multi-geography, so that they've spread themselves around and experienced additional cultures. But that continuous learning makes a huge difference to what happens to you and how ready you are to pivot, if you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think it is as the determining factor? Because, I mean, you know, we see like there's a huge increase in homelessness. You know, like, what do you think it is that is that determining factor from someone that, like, you know, is losing it all right now to like becoming homeless, but they didn't because they adapted? Like what? I don't know if anyone knows what that is, but what do you think it is?
I guess there's a couple of things. First of all, people who are making it through did preparation work in advance before there was ever an urgent matter to get themselves ready. They studied, they learned how to learn, as it were, and put themselves in a place where they could take the fork and approach the fork in the road and pick it up, to use Craig's words a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that they could go left, right, or straight. That's one. Two, they all seem to have this persistence, this fight in them that prepares them to go, go to battle, right? So they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their livelihood. And their ability to learn and change also seems to position them very, very well. So it's a combination of things that makes it possible to survive a disaster, a health issue, a work issue, being bullied, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that's something that is more instinctively in all of us? Like when that time happens for you, like you'll either persevere or you won't? Or do you think that there's something that like that we can absolutely 100% control how we prepare for that, right?
I think it's in our control. I think it's learned behavior. If I think about my siblings, and I have a lot of siblings for those who know me, there are some of us who persevere. There are some of us who are victims and things happen to them and they don't make it out. And so people have to lean in and prop them up, if you will. So I think it's learned behavior personally. I'd like to hear what everybody else thinks.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Durant says trials and tribulations refine us like gold, and then follows it up with AQ is so much more important nowadays. And when he says AQ, I believe he's talking about the adaptability quotient. People talk about IQ, they talk about EQ, emotional intelligence, but AQ is like this, you know, maybe it's a buzzword, but like it's this thing that, you know, how adaptable are you to the change? Right. And it can be measured. It's a thing that can be measured now.
I'm confident that it can be. And I think that there's one other thing that I have noticed among these people. The amount of time that they spent having the anger and pity party was relatively short in duration. So they didn't spend time wallowing in what happened. They, you know, picked themselves up, they dusted themselves off, and they started with an inventory. What do I have? What are my capabilities? What are my resources that are available to me? And how do I build myself a plan to invigorate life, as it were? Whether it's work life, it's personal life, or it's both.
Absolutely. No, I can 100% relate to that. When I was 2015, I had a new baby on the way. I got a vaccine. Next thing I know, I'm paralyzed on one half of my body. Then the baby was delivered. My wife almost died on the operating table. So I'm sitting there with one arm and a baby and a wife that can't do anything because of what happened. And that's when I started my business. So like, when you talk about that, like having like minimal time to like fraternize the pity and the anger of like, I could have just been like, man, I have every excuse in the world not to do something. But then for whatever reason, like, and I can't figure it out for whatever reason. That's the moment that I was like, I'm going to leave AT&T. I'm no longer a stormtrooper at the Death Star Corporation and I'm going out on my own. Like that, I don't know what that is. Like what happened there, you know?
My goodness, I didn't know any of that about you.
Well, as we're talking about it, it just came out just because, I mean, I think, you know, sharing your stories, and I think we all need to share our stories because that's how we're going to learn and figure this out, you know, figure out how, like, because there is a lot to be learned. There's a pattern here that we can all learn from that we can, you know, put to use in our own lives practically. And, absolutely. You know, that's kind of one of the main purposes of having you on the show and having this show in general is so that we can provide the insane amount of value to people that need it most.
So if we will, I got married at a very young age and I chose poorly to use an Indiana Jones line. And one day found myself staring down the barrel of a loaded 357. So at that time, I found a way to escape, and we'll avoid that conversation. And I left with my wallet, my car keys, and whatever I had left in my checking account. And because I'm reasonably resilient, I found a way to sustain myself. I found a place to stay. I swapped cars with a lady at work so that I was more difficult to be found. And I started looking for a way to leave the state. Now, those of you who know me know I'm from Michigan, but I'm not living in Michigan. I'm living in Texas. That's actually how I got here. I was lucky enough to have leaders at that time who were willing to help me and stretch me out. So I did a lot of temporary assignments in New Jersey and Tennessee and things of that nature. So when you find yourself in this situation, that's why I say you need to take assessment of what you have available to you, because your work family will help, your family will help, and there are also resources all over the country, whether they be church groups or they be professional associations that are willing to stretch themselves out to give you an assist. When you're trying to learn something new, there are podcasts like this. You have the ability to audit classes at major universities when you're trying to learn new skills, new capabilities about new industries that cost nothing, folks, or precious little, like an IIL conference for project management where you can sit through 40 classes for $45.
Oh, absolutely. A friend of mine posted something on Google, on LinkedIn the other day, and it was interesting because it's, to your point, resourcefulness. It's about resourcefulness. Like he said, I put on my resume that I know how to Google, and I got a kick out of it because like knowing how to Google, like that's basically proving that you are resourceful. Not a lot of people know how to Google. They don't know you can string things together. Like that actually is a skill. As silly as it sounds, knowing how to Google is a skill. It's a resourcefulness skill, and how resourceful are you can determine, you know, how far you climb into a company. So, I mean, is that something that you look for in others? You look to develop resourcefulness?
I do. So as you work with me, you will frequently get questions about what if. And what if usually means let's go off and do some homework. You do some homework, I'm going to do some homework. And we come back together, and what did we learn out of the experience? Did we talk to peers in other industries? As a strange example, would you believe that cutting railroad cars is what helped me develop a solution for resource planning?
I believe it, yeah. Tell me why. Tell me how.
I started thinking about how they would take a line of cars that were in storage and cut those cars so that they could send them down different paths, even though they were in the same string. And when I started thinking about the contents of the car, it could be oil, it could be natural gas, it could be sand, it could be whatever. And I started thinking about skills. And different skills are required for different types of work, right? So I started thinking about the skill sets being little cars and being able to cut and paste them into a job sequence.
Right.
So taking what you've learned from other industries and applying it in a unique situation or in your current situation is one of the ways that you demonstrate a little bit of adaptability. But yeah, you have to teach people to think about what could be. And sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to get them up off of the ground with what's happening in their current environment and their current challenges and the fact that they're overwhelmed by work, they're burdened by significant error rates, and look at the situation and say, all right, here's the thing that happens most often. And it's kind of a Pareto chart, right? Here's the thing that happens most often. Here's the second thing, the third thing, the fourth thing. All right, let's tackle the first thing. What can we do to cut that error rate in half? What's possible? And very often, if you ask, the teams will know what to do. And the same thing is true about if you sit down and say you've lost your job and it's time to go look for another one. Do you want to stay in the same industry? Do you want to do the same things? Do you want to try something new? What's available to you that you can leverage to help you make that next choice? So in your own head, if you ask, you know what to do. You just got to sit down with paper and pen or whatever it is that works for you, build yourself a list, make yourself a plan. How am I going to get from A to B?
Which and have, is it, have it in your mind of what could be.
What could be?
Oh, I got to mark this one right here. Jeanette dropping the value bombs. Go back and rewind this segment. That was that powerful. Thanks for sharing that, Jeanette. I love that. You know, as we talk about, you know, you've mentioned like changing industry, like that's a tough thing. But what I've noticed right now is a lot of people are, you know, unfortunately and fortunately, I think it's a good thing. They're in that I'm shifting industries right now and I'm scared, I'm nervous. But like they realized that they didn't like the industry that they were in and it took COVID to like make them wake up. So, you know, I think a lot of people are going through that right now. What advice would you have for them?
Don't be scared because you can learn anything. And as you go into any new industry, there are skills that are transferable, right? Your problem-solving skills are transferable. If you have contract management skills, they're transferable. Problem-solving, critical thinking, and don't underestimate the value of those soft skills, right? Your ability to effectively communicate with people, to actively listen is impressively valuable, right? If you can listen and truly hear people, you can learn all kinds of things from them. And every situation provides you with a learning opportunity. Either you learn something you wanted to know, you learn a way that you want to be, or you learn a way that you don't want to be. From every single encounter that you have learning opportunities to build yourself a table. I like this. I don't like that. And awesome. From there, you make decisions, right? It's a tree.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely is. Todd, thank you, sir. Iron sharpens iron. Thanking you for the story, Jeanette. Appreciate that. Let's pivot. Life changes pivot. Let's pivot right now. Let's talk about, you know, more recently, like what's the biggest surprise you've had in the last few months and why? Besides the COVID thing.
Actually, the biggest surprise that I am experiencing, I actually can't talk about. So let's talk about the one that was before that.
Okay.
So for 4 years, I lived in Denver, Colorado, and had a great team that I worked with, loved the people, loved the industry. You know, it was railroading, it was real estate, it was sand unitization, and it was industrial development. Worked with some fabulous people. And the entire time, when I first got there, I had a pretty spectacular allergic reaction and I broke out in hives, big hives. And I kind of blew it off. And then someone else, our general counsel, noticed, do you realize you've been coughing for several years? And of course, I'm obtuse. I hadn't noticed. But I had noticed that I was really tired. And my normal mode of operation when I feel good is I'm a little bit Energizer Bunny-like. You know, I keep going and going and going. And I was finding it harder and harder to do that. And finally, general counsel said, don't you think you ought to go and have that checked out? And so I kind of blew Andy off a little bit and then went back and looked at my calendar and how many times I'd been to the doctor, been on steroids, been on antibiotics, and said, maybe Andy has a point. So I sought medical attention and multitudes of doctors, and I finally hit the right guy entirely by accident. I was getting some symptoms that didn't make a whole lot of sense. And so I sought a specialist to check something out. And it turned out that he was a multidisciplined human being. He was an oncologist and a world-class hematologist. And so we sat through this whole session. He drew what I swear was most of the blood out of my body and did a bunch of tests. And he calls me back in and he says, you don't have cancer. What you do have is a spectacular allergic reaction. And you have a choice. You can either stay in the environment and you're going to leave horizontal, or you can leave the environment and find a new job. And I went, holy cow, really? So I learned a whole bunch through that experience. And I hurried up, finished the program that I had, and I actually left the environment in order that I could be healthy. So that was a pretty big change. I shut down a residence. I lost a job that I needed to replace. Would you believe how long it takes to recover from an allergic reaction? Every single time you have one, it takes your body at least 6 weeks to bounce back.
Wow. I didn't know that.
No. So for me, that was a rather significant change. And when I finally did get home, I was super sick. I slept for 18 to 20 hours every single day. And for 2 months, I did nothing, literally nothing, which also is highly uncharacteristic for me. It's the first time in my entire adult life that I was actually unemployed since I was 9 years old. And I did nothing for 2 months. So it took a while for me to recognize that I had a problem, reconcile the fact that I had a problem I had to deal with, and then figure out what I was going to do with the problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, seems like you've been through it all without... Something that strikes me in that story, which is maybe an underlying lesson here as well. You talked about multidisciplinary, right? So he was a doctor in two different studies. I'm seeing that more and more, like you actually can be a doctor by day and a DJ by night. Like you actually can be multidisciplinary. And I think it's actually in that you differentiate. And like, that was a perfect story, a perfect example of how that differentiated for you. Because if he hadn't had that multidisciplinary, he would have just been focused on what the book says oncology should be, right? Or if I got that backwards, whatever, right? Like right. He would have been focused on that singular focus. Is that something that you see more and more of? And how do we encourage that? Because you know we've been brought up to be like, hey, you want to be a lawyer? Go to law school, pass the bar, be a lawyer, and you are a lawyer now. That's it. Like that's how we've been taught coming up.
It is. And of interesting note, the kids that I come in contact with, whether they are our children, their grandchildren, their nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever it happens to be, I encourage them all to study multiple things. For example, we have a grandchild who's interested in marketing and advertising. So she's musically talented, dance talented, things of that nature. And right now, she's taking project management as an example. We have another who is interested in forensics and medicine, but is also taking criminology. And so we're encouraging that kind of multidisciplined approach to studying, to learning, to building disciplines, so that they don't find themselves in a situation where they hit the fork in the road and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so it is something that you teach and it is something that you perpetuate. And it's also something sadly that you get to pay for as parents and grandparents.
Yeah, no, it's something to be said. Like, you know, we have our daughter in martial arts and she wants to be like a singer as well. And I've had many people on the podcast that are like cybersecurity professionals that are like deep into martial arts. And the parallels between martial arts and cybersecurity are just, they're deep. They're very deep, the parallels there. So like being multidisciplined is something that really like helps you stand out. And I think it's something that is, you know, I know that it's something that is almost a necessity for everyone watching this and everyone out there now as the world turns, you know? So thinking more about that, more about your story, what else, what do we miss here?
Well, some things that may not be apparent to people. First of all, you can prepare yourself for a pivot before the event ever happens by studying, by investing in yourself every single day. So, and it doesn't take a whole lot to continually invest in yourself, right? LinkedIn makes a wide variety of material available to you. Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Read 15 minutes absolutely every single day. Set a goal for yourself to take advanced training every single quarter and put it in your goal so you're committed to it. And whether that's 10 hours, it's 40 hours, whatever it is that it's in you to invest in yourself to do that, to attend webinars and podcasts on a variety of topics. Maybe it's what you're interested in today, what it takes to make the next step forward for your new job, or something that you're interested in from a hobby perspective. Maybe it's cooking or it's gardening or whatever. But invest in yourself every single day. And Absolutely. To make yourself feel energized, how do you measure your performance? Measure your progress up against your goals. It'll make you feel better.
Yeah, and it will.
Go ahead.
Have you ever heard of the 5 hour rule? It's kind of what you're speaking of.
No, tell me a story.
Yeah. So the 5 hour rule, there's 5 days in a week. So for every single day of the week, block your calendar out of 1 hour. Usually for me, that's in the morning from like 8 to 9, block out 1 hour every single day where you don't just have it blocked out on your calendar just for the way it looks. You actually show up in your environment and you actively learn something new in that hour. So maybe you want to spend a month learning quantum physics, because I have some people on here that were into that. So quantum supremacy. So you spend that hour in the morning learning about that. You find something that you alternate what you are learning, and that could be through podcasts, through content like this, or through actually opening up a book and reading it.
There's nothing that replaces a good book.
Yeah, well said. Well said. So Jeanette, more specifically to your role, and I know you said you can't talk about certain things, but if you can generalize with us and play with us here, what would you say is the biggest challenge you have right now in your specific role and how you plan to overcome that?
We've acquired a number of companies over the course of the last several months, and the cultures were vastly different. And so getting people to collaborate together, communicate together, and work together, considering they're geographically different and they're culturally different, is some work. It takes some more specialized effort. And to some degree, it takes both sympathy and empathy, which are not the same thing. So right now, I would say that's probably our biggest single challenge is the change adoption and getting things to meld together so that they're unified, as it were.
Right. Yeah. And maybe you don't have the answers for this, but how would you plan to overcome that?
Right now, it's more about transparency and communication than it is anything else. It seems a little bit like there's an assumption that everybody's got an agenda. So statements, while people are feeling uncomfortable, statements aren't always taken at face value. There's an assumed agenda. And there's also assumed competence that's sitting behind it, which tend to cloud messages, as it were. You can say straight up, the sky is blue, and watch a whole bunch of folks turn around, look at the sky and say, nope, I don't think that's blue. I think it's green. I think it's gray. I think it's purple.
Right.
And assume that you're blowing smoke. So it takes a little bit to communicate transparency and to build trust that take the statement at face value. I'm not trying to tell you anything other than this. It can be really that simple. So
awesome.
It gets to be a challenge.
Yeah, no, I love that. So Jeanette, we're wrapping up here. Are you ready for the dialed in five? I got five more questions for you. The dialed in
All
five.
Right.
Ready? Let's pick up the pace a little bit here. What is the most important thing that you've ever learned in your life? That one goes deep.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Actually, it's adaptability and the need to continually learn. So I've had a wide variety of careers in my life. I've done everything from having a grass cutting company or a lawn service to managing restaurants to selling snow equipment and ski gear. So I've done a lot of different things. That adaptability seems to have served me well because I'm still standing upright and I'm above the dirt.
And where did you learn that from? Just life experience, or you learned that also from mentors?
Some of it came from life experience. Some of it came from reading. And of course, some of the problem solving skills actually did come from specific people. So people like Ruth Williams and Derek Dantzler, learning to how to treat people came from Janine Yetter. So I've had the pleasure of working for some really outstanding humans. And I'm really blessed that I have people like Melissa Collins, who seems to have a boundless amount of energy. I thought I was energetic until I met her, and I was wrong.
Nice. I gotta meet her. What makes you feel the most inspired, like your best self?
Oh, being presented with a problem by a team. And that moment when the light bulb goes off, that it can be different, and they figure out four or five different answers to the same problem. But that moment when the light bulb goes off and they go from, begging your pardon, hell no, we won't go, to it can't be done, to, oh my word, it could be vastly different. That single light bulb moment is just so energizing to me. When they can solve the problem and they can see a path clear, it's awesome.
Yeah, no, I feel that. What's a single best book that's in your head right now that you would recommend?
Believe it or not, it's an old book that I go back to over and over and over again, Reengineering the Corporation. And there are like 10 rules in this thing. Everybody knows the battle plan, so forth and so on. But I love the book, and I periodically pull it out. My version of it has, in my office, has three or four different kinds of highlights in it. It's got notes in it. It's got pieces of paper stuffed in it. So I've used it over and over and over again and love it.
Awesome. We'll link to that here. If you could have dinner with anyone who's ever lived, who would it be and why?
Margaret Thatcher.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I would dearly love to sit and have dinner with her and understand what it was like for her at the time that she was prime minister. She was something of a lone wolf out there. Very prominent female, difficult times. I would love to understand how she navigated all of that as successfully as she did. And I'd love to understand about her coping skills, because that was a high pressure position. We think we know what high pressure looks like, but folks who sit at heads of state, they're making life and death decisions every 3.2 seconds. And they're making them rapid fire. And the consequences of their decisions are impactful. They impact a lot of people all at once. Yeah. So I'd love to sit and have dinner with her.
Oh, that's awesome. Before the last question, just some comments. Frank Rogers, thanks, Jeanette Ward, CPCU, Glass Half Full, Press Forward, Viewpoint. Love that. Robert Duran, I love learning from people's mistakes. Todd, value bomb. Owen Shiro on Twitch. That's a new one. People often think that they're not smart enough, so they don't try. Thanks for watching us on Twitch. And then Robin Austin, like seeing the excitement of the light bulb. Frank, the Iron Lady. Yeah, an interesting choice. Awesome, guys. Thanks for commenting. Thanks for being here with us. Last question, Jeanette. We wrap it up. And then don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with you after I disconnect you here.
Yes, sir.
Now that you are dialed in, you've been on the show, What does being dialed in mean to you?
What I like about it is it exposes people to multiple viewpoints and provides different ways of thinking about things. So Craig talked about how they tackled the pandemic from the city of Austin's perspective and what kinds of skills and capabilities were involved in how they were making change. Tom Sweet talked about being adaptable and continuously learning. Sonia Bridges' famous comment was, if you're talking about the conversation, I'm going to get this quote wrong, if you're willing to be part of the conversation, you are in the conversation, I think is how it went. But helping people understand that level of engagement, that level of willingness to actively engage makes a difference in how you're received, in your ability to make change or to drive change, as it were. So I like that interconnectedness and that exposure element.
Thanks for listening to Dialed In. This show is brought to you by Acuerdo.io, the world's first orchestration agency for the future of work. Go check us out at Acuerdo.io. This show could also not be put together without great partners, Robin Austin and Casey Yarbrough of Elevate Exchange, membership for IT leaders. And remember, to win in life, to win in business, to win in your career, it's not about being the strongest, the fastest, or the smartest, simply about being the most adaptable to change, the most dialed in.